You're listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. I'm Ron Fraser. Today I'm going to talk about my relationship with Jesus. Maybe I should have used this talk at the beginning of the series since the podcasts are intended for a Christian audience, but the audience is growing every day. Maybe you're one of the new listeners. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I live in western Florida in a little town called Niceville. Yes, there really is a town called Niceville. I guess all the other names were taken. As you can tell from my accent, I wasn't born in the South. I was born in Indiana, but my mother was from Monroe, Louisiana. Her mother's people had been in Virginia since 1607. That's 13 years before the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock. And her father's Native American ancestors had been in the South for 1,000 years or so, at least 500 years before Columbus. Some of my mother's people owned slaves, and some of them were slaves. When I have to put down my race on a form, I just mark mixed. My wife Sandy looks black, but we actually have the same races in our ancestry, just different percentages. Her family's from up north, way up north in Birmingham. If you're listening to this from New England, you might think of Birmingham as being way down south, but I have to drive 5 hours straight north to get to Birmingham. It's all in your point of view. If I was any farther south, I'd be living on a houseboat. Now, both my mother and father attended Baptist churches as children, so Southern Baptist churches were my introduction to religion. I was happy to have a relationship with Jesus, but it didn't take me long to tire of their message that seemed to be saying, everyone's wrong but us. It seemed like every sermon and every Sunday school lesson contained somewhere, everyone's wrong but us. So I wandered away from religion for a while and tried wine, women, and song. Well, you can make a religion out of that, but you don't age too gracefully. By the time I was 27, I was a mess. I started studying Hinduism and became a much more serious person. I liked some of the Hindu writings, particularly the Bhagavad Gita, which I read over and over dozens of times. But I still had so many questions and I felt like I needed more guidance. The Hindu clergy would try to guide you to their way of thinking, which seemed like it was going to benefit them more than it benefited me. There was also a stink of ego in everything they wrote. Now, for about 2 years in the late 70s, I listened to a weekly Baha'i radio program in Phoenix, where I was living at the time. Every Sunday on my way to ride bikes with some friends, I'd listen to this program where they talked about the equality of men and women, the abolition of all prejudices, the harmony of science and religion, a spiritual solution to the economic problems of mankind. And it all made a lot of sense, but I wasn't looking to change my religion. Then one day I was meditating on some conflict I was feeling. Basically, how could I have a more intense spiritual experience, walk the spiritual path, but have a fairly normal life? I didn't want to go off and live in a cave or an ashram somewhere. Then an inner voice told me to find the Baha'is and my problem would be solved. So I went straight to the Yellow Pages, called the local Baha'i number, and found out about some meetings. But I also went to the library and checked out a few Baha'i books. I was immediately struck by the voice in Baha'u'llah's books. It was the same voice I'd seen in the red print in my Bible. It was the same voice I'd heard in the Bhagavad Gita. Here was the same spirit plus practical guidance written in modern times. So I started reading my Bible again. I read what Baha'u'llah said about Jesus, and then I'd read what Jesus said about his return. It had been a long time since I'd read the Bible. The zipper was a little rusty, and it took a few days for it to work smoothly again. It was like reading a whole new book. I'd forgotten all of the superstitions I'd heard as a child. Now I could look at the book with adult eyes, and it opened up like a blossom for me. Everything became clear. It had never made sense to me that God would require Jesus to die in agony on the cross as an atonement for the sins of mankind. Now I saw that this was just an interpretation that the Christians had made based on an Old Testament viewpoint. The Jews were used to slaughtering an animal whenever they sinned, so it seemed logical to Christians that Jesus was the blood sacrifice that cleansed mankind. Now I saw that his sacrifice was important for our salvation, but not as a slaughtered lamb. He chose to die in this way to show us his love for us so that we would respond with a volition that would enable us to live a Christian life. He didn't wash away our sins. He gave us the will to wash ourselves, to behave properly, to obey the golden rule. Without his sacrifice, well, imagine if he'd lived a long, comfortable life and died of old age. Would he have gotten our attention? Would he have just been another Plato? Now, Jesus is my personal Savior. His Sermon on the Mount pretty much tells me how to live my personal life. I've described the Baha'i concept of the afterlife before in other podcasts, so I don't want to repeat all that material. But quickly, let me say that salvation is a process of taking every aspect of Jesus' life into my life. It's not about death, it's about life. It's not something that happens in a moment when I say he's my Savior. Salvation comes through demonstrating in my actions every day that Jesus' example is worth imitating. Now you know, if you've listened to our previous podcasts, that Jesus has returned, that Baha'u'llah, which means the glory of God, is his new name. He's brought the teachings that we couldn't bear 2,000 years ago, teachings that will save the planet. Jesus of Nazareth is and will remain my personal Savior. Baha'u'llah is and will remain the Savior of the planet. He affirms the personal standard that Jesus stated in all those red letters in the Holy Bible. And he adds to that a restatement of Jesus' standard in planetary terms, plus simple practical teachings like educating all the children, establishing a universal language script and monetary system for the planet, just to name a few, which will remove so many barriers to human cooperation and progress. Baha'u'llah didn't bring new spiritual teachings, but he did answer many letters from believers who asked spiritual questions. So we have 100 books of guidance looking at these same spiritual questions from different viewpoints. He might answer a question from a young mother who's raising her children, and then answer the same question from an old man. By comparing the answers, I get a more three-dimensional picture of the spiritual truth. Just like if you take a picture of the front of your house and another from the side, I'll get a better idea of the house that you live in. I'll tell you a cute story that has to do with this repetition thing. An American visitor once asked Abdu'l-Bahá, the son of Baha'u'llah, why he would repeat himself so often. Abdu'l-Bahá said, "Well, what was I talking about the last time I repeated myself?" The American said, "I guess I don't remember." Abdu'l-Bahá said, "See, that's why I repeat myself." Getting back to Jesus, Baha'u'llah tells us that Jesus was not simply a human like you or I, that he was a divine being who was pre-existing with God in the divine kingdom, that he came to earth with a mission which he fulfilled perfectly, that he had a virgin birth. Had you wondered about that? Many Christians do. I've heard some Christians say that the early Christians just made the virgin birth up. Well, Baha'u'llah says that Christ had a virgin birth, so that's good enough for me. By the way, Muhammad wrote the same thing in the Quran. Did you know that? I hear Christians complaining that Muhammad denied the virgin birth. It's baloney. What Muhammad denied was an old belief that God, as a man, had sex with Mary and got her pregnant. That was the reason why Muhammad said that God does not beget nor is he begotten. There's a whole chapter in the Quran about the virgin birth, but you don't hear these Christian scholars quoting from that. Well, I'll save Muhammad for another podcast. I need to get back on track. Let me say that the Baha'i writings have done three amazing things, least amazing to me. First, they've illumined my understanding of the Bible. As I said, it has opened like a blossom for me. Secondly, they've taught me about the Quran because I really knew nothing of Islam before becoming a Baha'i. And third, they've enabled me to see that the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran are chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the same book. A rather big book, but it's the same book. I'm going to repeat that. They've enabled me to see that the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran are chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the same book. I can look at a Jew and think, I believe what he believes. I can look at a Christian and think, I believe what he believes. I can look at a Muslim, same thing, I believe what he believes. Now, none of them believe what I believe, but I'm not responsible for them. So now, for me, the Old Testament and the New Testament are more understandable and relevant to my life. I'm able to cut through the fog of misinformation that dominates much of Christian discourse. I can see the truth in all the Christian churches, and I can see the ignorance that divides them. By misinterpreting this verse or that verse, preachers have been able to divide up Christianity into thousands of little fiefdoms. Each has his own flock and his little income, sometimes a big income. I believe that for all Christians to become one church again, they will have to become Baha'is. That's the only way to resolve the petty disputes that separate them. They must use, this is a big point, they must use the Baha'i writings as the standard through which to view the Old and New Testaments, and the Quran too, for that matter. So I see the Baha'i faith as the new unified Christian church, one without clergy to divide it up again. God has told us in his new message that today all the people must read and write so they can read the holy books for themselves. We must be grateful to the clergy for their services, but their time has passed. Now, I can hear the clergymen in the audience saying, wait, we're the educated ones. We went to seminary. We have to explain the truth to the congregation. Well, that was once true, but it isn't anymore. There isn't one truth. The book is truth. The Bible is truth. You and I are supposed to read it for ourselves and pray, and God will put the meaning in our hearts that we need for today. Tomorrow, we'll read it again, and he'll put a different meaning in our hearts, so we'll grow a little more. It won't negate the meaning we had yesterday. It'll just be on a higher plane, a higher level. If all we do is listen to the clergy, then our understanding will never be any higher than the clergyman's understanding, and it won't necessarily speak to our heart. So I hope you'll read your Bible and pray that Jesus will open your eyes to see Baha'u'llah as his return. Put your faith in Jesus to guide you and ask him to protect you from false prophets. Dear friends, if this kind of spiritual exploration appeals to you, I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast and to other Baha'i podcasts. And remember, you're welcome to join us at any time. You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i faith, call 1-800-22-UNITE, or in Florida call 850-543-2129. Look on the internet at www.baha'i.org for the international site, or www.baha'i.us for the U.S. site. Remember that Baha'i is B-A-H-A-I. In Florida, our website is www.emeraldcoastbaha'is.org. emeraldcoastbaha'is.org. If you'd like to look up other Baha'i podcasts, go to our website, emeraldcoastbaha'is.org. At the bottom are links to other Baha'i podcasts. I'm Ron Fraser. You can email me at panhandlebaha'is@aol.com. Thanks for listening.